Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you're a lineman in charge of keeping the lights on, Granger understands that you go to great lengths and sometimes heights to ensure the power is always flowing. Which is why you can count on Grainger for professional-grade products and next-day delivery, so you have everything you need to get the job done. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to hour number three, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid and all across that Spiz Grizz network. That is Sports Grid. That is Donnie Wrightside. I am Ben Stevens. One more hour to go here on this Tuesday before we say goodbye. A ton of baseball breakdowns coming your way. The Subway Series here in the Big Apple gets underway between the Yankees and Mets on this Tuesday. We'll have a preview of that, both game number one in the Subway Series as a whole. And two teams playing pretty good ball as of this moment. The Yankees, the most wins in MLB, and the New York Mets have been on fire in the Grimace era and in the month of June. But we start here, DRS, in this third hour with a debate about not only Connor McDavid winning the Conn Smythe Award as the playoff MVP despite his team falling in Game 7 of the Stanley Cup Final, but what might it mean for MVPs given out in postseasons where a player on a losing team wins the hardware? We'll do that by hearing from you first. That would be the people and Fade the Public. Did Connor McDavid deserve to win the Conn Smythe Award? At Sports Grid on Twitter, yes or no, your two options. And more than 61% of the public saying yes, that Connor McDavid was the best player throughout the entirety of the playoffs. And despite the fact Edmonton came up ever so short in forcing a game seven, but not winning that seventh game, McDavid was the best player. Which way did you vote, DRS? Did you fade the public?
No, I did not. I went with the public here, and I said yes. Now, the tough part about this is we're so ingrained in society here, specifically in professional sports, that the winner of the championship team, and he just picked the best player regardless, that's who should be the MVP and who should carry that. It's actually refreshing to see that in the NHL. And also keep in mind, most sports, Ben, as we know, you are getting that award just based on what you did in the finals and nothing else at that point, where the Stanley Cup playoffs, like, no, no, no. How were you on each round here? And the culmination is the Stanley Cup, but if you make it and win it, obviously you're going to get to a bump. But if not, Connor McDavid was the best player in the playoffs all the way through. Now, the shame of it is where you might get that close to 40% saying no at this point, because what have you done for me lately? Well, I mean, he was fantastic in games 4 and 5, but where was he in games 6 and 7? Now, game 6, they did win. Game 7, they did not win. You were waiting for that Connor McDavid moment, a breakaway goal, a tremendous pass, something that was going to deliver in game 6 and 7 to sort of lift your team. Now, as I said, they won 6, but I was waiting last night for that opening goal to be Connor McDavid. He just wasn't able to do that. So I understand why some people are saying, you know what, I'm just used to the winning team's best player getting it here, and I felt like maybe if Connor McDavid was the best player all along, it would have been nice if he stepped up in the last two games, which he did not do. So I understand the people voting no, but you can't tell me right now the best player in this playoff run was not Connor McDavid. He was.
And I also think the distinction is worth noting here. This is the Conn Smythe MVP trophy for all of the playoffs. Unlike the NBA Finals MVP or Super Bowl MVP or even the Final Four's most outstanding player by the time we get to the NCAA tournament. Those have qualifiers. to the award. The Conn Smythe is the entirety of the postseason. Of course, it is natural thought to say if you are the best player all postseason, it leads to you at least playing in the Stanley Cup Final, having that opportunity to add on to your statistical output in a championship series, and more than likely being the best player in that series for your team hoisting the hardware. There is a reason that Connor McDavid is only the second skater to ever win the Conn Smythe on a losing team. Reggie Leach of the 1976 Philadelphia Flyers, the only other one. I believe he scored 19 goals in the postseason, still the most ever in the Stanley Cup playoffs in NHL history. The sixth winner of the Conn Smythe on the losing team. The other four then, of course, were netminders. And I also think, Donnie, you look at the other side. Who was deserving of it? Did anybody on Florida have a better postseason than Connor McDavid? No. Did anybody on Florida have such an outstanding Stanley Cup final to win this in favor of McDavid? By the time we got to seven games, no. If it was a four-game sweep, Sergei Bobrovsky would have won it. If maybe it was even done in five, and in game four, the Oilers did not score eight goals, five of them against the man known as Bob, I still think he would have won the hardware and the Conn Smythe. But because this series was extended to a seventh and final game, it allowed those opportunities for McDavid, who had a historic postseason, 42 points in total, fourth most in the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, and he did unthinkable things in games four and five, back-to-back games of recording 4 points. The only time in a Stanley Cup final we have ever seen a player have at least 4 points in two consecutive games. So when you etch your name in the history books, albeit your team does fall short in a game seven, but a historic way of even forcing that seventh game, you do get, I think, at least the deserving credit.
Yeah, exactly. And you should if you're Connor McDavid. And again, it's prefaced on being the best player on the ice throughout the entirety of the NHL playoffs, including the finals. Now, granted, he would have never won this. You're right. If it was a four-game sweep or even in five. But the fact that it was extended into seven games and McDavid was a big, big part of that in a couple of those games in Edmonton and in Sunrise, Florida in games five and six. Even though in game six he didn't score, still did a lot of things. They even had, I saw the a couple of the players say, look, even though he didn't have a point in game number six, he was tremendous out there with his back checking and setting plays up just to get credit for obviously scoring a goal or getting an assist. But also moving forward, like in the professional landscape, it's good to see that maybe we have a pathway where it's not just, okay, the other guy can't win it unless his team won. Because as we take a look at some of those championship phases in the past, you could have honest, you know, efforts that say other guys should have won this. And you go back to the Golden State Warriors versus the Cleveland with LeBron James at this point, and the Cavaliers didn't win that championship, but LeBron James was putting up numbers historic that nobody's ever seen in the finals, and it went to Andre Iguodala because he was on the winning team. So I hope in the future that this does change something, because we watch Super Bowls. It's like, all right, it wasn't a great game overall, so I guess you have to give it to this guy when maybe another guy was even better. Just because his team lost, you can't win that. So I would like to see a change in the shifting markets here, but I don't know if it's ever going to get back to that path where you're going to have like, hey, just pick the best player. Like typically always goes to that winning team.
We have only ever seen one guy in the NBA Finals win the MVP award on the losing side. That was Jerry West, the logo. May he rest in peace, a very long time ago. When it comes to football and a Super Bowl MVP, more than likely, if a quarterback can win the award in football, a quarterback is going to win the award. We spent so much time, DRS, on the Pro Football Today set on the FanDuel Sportsbook stage inside Radio Row in Las Vegas debating Christian McCaffrey. Could he win the NFL or could he win the Super Bowl MVP award in favor of Brock Purdy if the Niners ended up winning that Lombardi Trophy? Of course, he did not. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs won that Super Bowl, and Mahomes was the MVP. But that's one of the debates as well. Football being, if a quarterback can win, a quarterback is often going to win. Maybe this does change the name. Because one thing always to remember about these awards, whether it's during a postseason, whether it's during a championship series, or in a regular season, these are narrative awards. A lot of it is quantifiable based on your output, based on how great you were statistically, and what historic records you may have set throughout that run, throughout the playoffs, throughout the regular season. But even then, It's voted on by media members, and it's not necessarily always tied to the odds, as we saw in the NBA Finals, when in that fifth game, Jason Tatum was going off and became a live, what, minus 500 favorite to win the NBA Finals MVP award.
By the way, how wild would the actual post-game celebration be if the other guy on another team that lost won the MVP? Hey, guys, before we hand out the Lombardi Trophy, you know, Terry Bradshaw's up there with the winning team. Let's bring up the running back of the losing team. Hey, congratulations on the MVP. Like, it would be a wild scene at that point. So even for the actual broadcast itself, it makes way more sense. No, nobody would ever accept it. Yeah. Like in hockey, they don't even touch, like, the, you know, the Eastern or Western Conference Finals trophy at this point, let alone go up and get an MVP in a Stanley Cup game if they lost. No way.
Really good point. I would not accept it either. The Daily Bases with Craig Mish up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A Tuesday on the early line, you know what that means. Here in this third and final hour, we forecast the daily bases around Major League Baseball. Joining us now to do just that, our MLB insider, the host of Newswire, starting at 11 a.m. Eastern time. That is Craig Mish. Craig, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Tuesday.
Yes, good morning. A late night for me last night, watching hockey, which I didn't think I'd be saying a few months ago. Yeah, of course. You know, watching on TV. But needless to say, championship here in South Florida. We haven't had one of these big ones in a long time, so it was really cool.
The first in franchise history for the Florida Panthers. Craig, as a South Florida native, we say congratulations to you. Now we focus on this Tuesday around MLB and the biggest updates around baseball. It's everybody's favorite and mine. It's time for the Daily Bases. Craig. All right, here we go. Base number one, that would be first. We focus on a setback for Clayton Kershaw, trying to make his way back up through the minors in rehab starts. Clayton Kershaw will be shut down for at least 10 days due to lingering soreness in his throwing shoulder. Craig, what does this mean for the veteran for the Dodgers? When do you think he will return this season?
Yeah, injuries are really hard to predict, and Kershaw's had his fair share of them with the back and the shoulder as well. Again, I think we talked about this probably about a month ago. For the Dodgers, what are the expectations for Kershaw? Hopefully he can pitch in the postseason for them. I think that beyond that, I don't think that they would be concerned with anything else. And, of course, the Dodgers with this unlimited amount of money can go out and get any player they want. So I guess what we will do, Ben, is we'll check back right around after the All-Star break to see what his progress is. Probably going to have to start over as far as starting in the minor leagues again. Made a very limited amount of starts. But in order to be eligible, I think, for the Dodgers postseason, my guess is he'll have to pitch sometime in September. And, you know, medicals notwithstanding, I guess that's when you'll see Kershaw, is sometime at the very end of the season just so he could pitch in the postseason.
Yeah, pitching staff that's very talented with the names in it, but certainly a lot of those injury concerns entering into the season, now raising it once again with Clayton Kershaw. Let's take a look at one team here that's not worried too much about many things in first place by a wide margin. That's the Guardians. They've been taking on the Orioles here with another victory yesterday. Two teams here, Craig, seemingly going in opposite directions. When the Orioles, you say opposite direction, that's the only direction they know has been winning. They've lost a few games in a row, and now you're seeing the streaking Guardians. Talk to us about two of these ball clubs and the expectations moving forward. Seemed fantastic for both of them.
Yeah, tremendous season again for Cleveland. Remember, Terry Francona retired at the end of last season. They really didn't go out and get a ton of players, and here Cleveland is in a position not only to win the division, but maybe to have the best record in all of baseball. Credit to that organization, scouting, development, and free agent signings. They've done a fantastic job. They've also found a way to keep some of their pitchers healthy, regardless of what you're seeing in earned run average and whip and some of the advanced metrics. Guys, every Guardians pitcher just pitches every 5 days, and they just keep that going. As far as Baltimore is concerned, you're right, Donnie, a little bit of a blip, but that's going to happen to every team over the course of the year. I just don't know what the Orioles are going to do. It's a very complex situation with Baltimore. They kind of have this Houston Astros model through the years. The Astros did make acquisitions when they were so successful. I think Baltimore is going to be down those same lines. You know, but every once in a while they would get a player. It wasn't like they would just break the bank at the trade deadline or in the offseason. So call me curious to see what Baltimore ends up doing next month.
The O's on a four-game skid. The Guardians, the hottest active team in Major League Baseball, make that 6 wins in a row. But Baltimore favored at home today to snap the skid and even up this midweek set against Cleveland. Craig, what an aces affair we have today in the Motor City. Ranger Suarez, 10-1 with a 1.75 ERA. The 10 wins for Suarez, the best in Major League Baseball, at least tied for the most. That 1.75 ERA, not tied for anything, the best in all of the bigs. Tarek Skubal has been great for Detroit on the other side, 8-3 with a 2.50 ERA. Who has the pitching edge today in the Motor City?
Look, I think this is in line for a close game. I mean, Skubal's two bad starts in a row now for him, so I would imagine he'll fare better, although it is a very potent Philadelphia Phillies offense. We know that Ranger Suarez has been one of the best pitchers, if not the best in all of baseball this season. I look at the total of 7.5, and you know, I take a look at what Detroit has been doing, essentially, which is you know, going under in their last game, going over the game before that, and then going under, 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 under. So I think I'm going to go under on this game today. I look, the Tigers, they pitch well. They really just don't score runs. I mean, this has been going on all season long. So, you know, I don't think you could just close your eyes and click under for the rest of the season. But, you know, the Tigers are going to hang around in this thing. But until they start hitting the ball more, that's a team to look toward the under.
It feels that way, too, Craig. It's almost like it's Riley Green and maybe get a little bit out of Matt Vierling and not much out of the rest of that lineup here. We'll see how that holds on that 7.5. Subway Series today, Battle of New York City, the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. Garrett Cole back on the mound facing the left-handed pitcher, David Peterson, an 8.5 total and a favorite here for the Yankees at about a -148 price. What are we looking at tonight? Subway Series action.
Yeah, you're going to get your money's worth because I think this is going to be one of the longer games played in baseball because you're going to have two teams that are going to have pitchers out probably in the fifth inning or even before. And the difference in a game like this in June as opposed to some others, look, these two teams want to beat each other. There's bragging rights on the line. It's not that it's not like that in every game, guys, but in these series in particular, you're going to see the managers managing. You're going to see a lot of pitching changes going on. Have no real strong opinion in this because I think it's more of a live action game where you check back in the third or fourth inning, see what the score is, and see if there's any advantage. But I can assure you there's going to be a lot of pitchers on both sides pitching in this game.
The Yanks struggling ever so slightly. Lost to the Atlanta Braves this weekend at home in that weekend set. They've dropped 7 of their last 10, but still 52 wins for the Yanks. That's the most in MLB. The New York Mets in the grimace era in the month of June, 13-6. Two games this week at Citi Field in Queens. We'll go to the Bronx at the end of July for two more games in the Subway Series between the Yankees and the Mets. Craig Mish, as always, we appreciate the time. Thank you for being here on this Tuesday on the Early Line. Plenty of more MLB plays up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What a start it was this week in the Motor City for the Philadelphia Phillies. A 1-3-5 triple play recorded, the first since the late 1920s, in an 8-1 victory over the Tigers, which featured 5 RBIs from Bryce Harper, 3 more ribbies from Alec Boehm, who is having a great season for the Phils, and really it's a great season for Philadelphia overall, and that encapsulated in Ranger Suarez, 10-1 with a 1.75 ERA, an ace affair today in the Motor City against Tarek Skubal and the Tigers on the other side. We asked the RS, Craig Mish, about this ace affair. What is your take that sees the Fightins as a road favorite in Detroit?
They should be a road favorite. They should win this baseball game. You take a look at the temperatures here, 86 degrees in Detroit. It is a pitcher's ballpark, but a wind blowing out to left field, 12 miles per hour. Here's what you're going to have to quantify yourself. There are two very good pitchers on the mound. The Philadelphia Phillies as a team, and again, just against just any lefty, doesn't have to be a superstar like Scoop. They've been tremendous here over the past 30 days. Take a look at this. First 7 guys in that lineup, ISO power numbers here. Again, we use these terms of at least like a 165 or 170. as the average. Anything above that, you're doing well. 368, 333, 382, 179, 526, 211, and 250 is that 1 through 7 in their last month against lefties. That should help. But again, it's Scooble. And if you want to take a look at on the season, both of these pitchers have been great. But how about if we go to some of those splits here over the past 60 days? At home, Tarek Scooble, you know, number 2 on the card today with an ERA just over 2. And when I mean just over, Ben, that's 2.01, an xFIP of 303. So you take a look at Ranger Suarez and say, all right, well, what does he do on the road? Well, you take a look at this, Ben, a 194 ERA on the road and a 280 xFIP number. This game definitely should stay under the total. The Phillies have the better lineup here. Can they get the Scooble? I don't even know if it's a case of that, Ben. How about just waiting out Scooble and then winning this game if it's close, or if you maybe have a one-run lead or it's tied late in that game? I think the Phillies win this one, but runs coming here, that's going to be tough to gauge.
9 runs yesterday, 7.5 the total today. You would think because Detroit's offense hasn't been all that great and they're facing Ranger Suarez, and maybe if there is any pitcher to slow down Philly's offense right now, it could be Scooble bouncing back from a couple of rough starts by his standards. Maybe we stay under 7.5. The Brew Crew back in Milwaukee yesterday after a rough weekend out in Southern California against the Padres. They dropped 3 of 4, 6-3 the victory against the Rangers in the opener yesterday, a home favorite once again today at -124. Total of 9 between the Rangers and the Brew Crew. What do you like?
Yeah, here's going to be an interesting part. You take a look at Wilson on the mound. His numbers at home this year, 2.63 ERA. Like, ooh, sign me up right away. But you take a look at some of those analytical figures here. xFIP number, 4.74. So that raises. Here's the issue also. He's a right-handed pitcher that's absolutely been dominant, Ben, against right-handed batters. But lefties are a complete different situation. Take a look at the last 30 days where he's faced 52 batters from the left side. That's a 244 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 434. The lineup doesn't present itself all that well for the Texas Rangers today, because over the past month, this team has really been scuffling against right-handed pitchers. But there's two guys in that lineup that aren't scuffling at all against righties, and that's the two lefties right in the heart of that order. Seager at number 2, Smith at number 3. A 405 ISO power number here over the past month for Seager against righties. And you take a look at Smith at 250 ISO over the past month against lefties, or excuse me, against righties as a left-handed batter. So RBI props here. I take Seager and Smith. Not in love with this game, but that's probably the way I would go there with the Texas Rangers.
The Twins, if at all possible, trying to chase down the Cleveland Guardians, who have won 6 straight and now open up an 8-game advantage in the American League Central. But Minnesota, a road favorite today out in the desert in Phoenix against the Diamondbacks, -124. Minnesota, that's the money line price at this moment. Over-under is 8. What gives today between the Twins and the D-backs?
Yeah, you're taking a look at maybe you have a chance to get some runs here. Forget about taking a look at some of those analytical home and road splits here. Let's just take a look at what's actually happened here. Joe Ryan is a good pitcher for Minnesota, but over the past 30 days, Ben, 52 batters that he's faced from the left side, keep in mind he's a right-handed pitcher, a 347 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 342. So he can be attacked that way. If you take a look at this lineup, Corbin Carroll, Jock Peterson, Jake McCarthy, some of those guys should be able to do some damage, and the Arizona Diamondbacks have done well against right-handed pitching over the past month. Look at Brandon Fought on the mound today. Over this past month, 195, excuse me, ISO power number 340, weighted on base percentage through 128 batters. But if we look at that Twins lineup, they've done very well against right-handed pitching, in particular, four of the first 6 batters, 405, 335, 521, 363, and 441. Some of those weighted on base percentages here. I think we might be able to get some runs out there in the desert today.
The reigning NL pennant winners, that would be the Diamondbacks, did lose the weekend in the NLCS matchup in that rematch against Philadelphia. But Arizona's been pretty good here in June, 13-6 overall, 13-4 before dropping the final 2 against the Phils. A Subway Series preview next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
10 New York Minutes with Nikki Lattarulo, live right here on this Tuesday on the early line on Sports Grid. Nikki, of course, doing great coverage on all things New York sports for SNY ahead of the Subway Series beginning tonight at Citi Field in Queens between the New York Mets and the New York Yankees. Nikki, thank you so much for taking the time to join us here on this Tuesday.
Yeah, thanks, guys, for having me. Always a pleasure.
Let's start with the Yankees, 52 wins for New York, the most in all of Major League Baseball. Each and every year, Nikki, the Yankees are going to enter with sky-high expectations. What have you made of their start to this season? Have they matched the expectations you set for the Pinstripes?
Honestly, I always go into the season with high expectations, like you said, but then as the season goes on, I start to lessen and lessen my expectations just because how their playoff situation continues to go in recent history. But I think this year, despite the last 10 games, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, but I think that they've been doing everything that everyone expected them to do. Judge and Soto together are like the craziest duo. I'm so happy to watch them in New York. But I'm not too worried about the last 10 games. I think they have to figure out the lineup. It's very top-heavy now, especially without Stanton. But, I mean, the loss to the Orioles, the Dodgers, the Braves, those series are kind of questionable, so that makes me lower my expectations come the postseason. But right now I'm just enjoying it. It's a good time for them to have a little bit of a sluggish go, but I'm hoping after the All-Star break they can pick it back up.
Yeah, it's always a long baseball season, the ups and downs of the season. It's no question you're going to have some losing streaks here. You just want to tame those. But I love what I see out of the New York Yankees, Nikki, coming out of spring training. I had my doubts here. Now, the Yankees, as you said, always a World Series contender because they're always going to have a big-time payroll and superstar players. But the injury concerns, what we're going to get out of Gerrit Cole, and also, can these guys stay healthy, and what Juan Soto was going to be providing here in a big market. He has been sensational. We'll get him to in a second here. But the expectations moving forward right now, any changes on the horizon do you feel, Nikki, where it's maybe okay, Stanton might be down a month, let's go ahead of the trade deadline and make some of these moves? Because I really think the Yankees right now, if you ask me, the best team in the American League is the Yankees, but I still need to see a little bit more for them just to hold on this summer.
I mean, if you would have asked me before Stanton got hurt, I would have been like, no, they don't need to go get anyone at the trade deadline. But now watching LeMahieu struggle, Rizzo's obviously out, Trent Grisham, like, he's not the answer to replace Stanton. And then when you think about it, you'd be like, oh, Jason Dominguez could step up, but now he's hurt. I think if I were the Yankees, I would go get someone just because, I mean, is Stanton going to come back as healthy as he was? He was obviously having a great season, but is he going to come back and be what he was, or is he going to come back and get hurt again? And then, of course, there's always concerns about other people getting hurt. So, I mean, I would love to see them go out and get someone just to have that extra insurance, because right now they're relying on the top four in their offense, and God forbid someone else goes down. It's definitely, they don't have a lot of wiggle room now with Rizzo and Stanton out.
Yeah, the last couple of weeks, we've seen Juan Soto miss a couple of games with some forearm tightness. We saw Aaron Judge miss a few games last week, or at least one, after getting hit by a pitch. But both healthy and in there for the Subway Series expected. Nikki, as we go to the other side of this equation, that's the New York Mets. It's been a very interesting year for the Amazons. But here in the month of June, 13-6. We'll get to the grimmest Mets in this era in just a moment. As you look at the New York Mets as a whole, can they capitalize on the momentum built in June and make a run to the postseason?
Honestly, if you would have asked me this question in the beginning of the season, I would think everyone was crazy. But you know what? We heard Stern say they're a playoff team. We're not going to give up. And what they've done in June is exactly what they needed to do. Their stretch coming up before the All-Star break was easier. And I think if they didn't capitalize on all those teams that were under 500, then there would be no shot. But what they're doing is exactly what they needed to do. I think if they at least win one against the Yankees, then they have three coming up with the Astros, which is not the Astros team that we're used to seeing. If they could get above 500 before the All-Star break, I mean, I could see them in the playoffs, especially because the NL wildcard race is so close. And none of those teams are that much better than the Mets. If you look at the teams above them in the wildcard race, they could beat anyone other than the Braves, other than the Phillies. When I look at the National League, like, the Mets are right in there with all the wild card teams. So if they just stay mediocre, I think they could do enough. They just can't get into a slump. They can't afford a slump.
Before we get into the game tonight, there are some really interesting things that could happen in this upcoming season after the postseason ends. The reason I bring that up is Juan Soto is a free agent. Pete Alonso is a free agent. Both of these owners have deep pockets here, but sort of posturing. And also, it never helps the ownership groups when Scott Boras is going to make sure that these guys actually reach free agency to get into a bidding war. If I ask you this question today, what's more likely, Soto back to the Yankees or Alonso back to the Mets?
Soto back to the Yankees, 100%. I think Alonso is more what happens with the Mets. Like, are they going to make the playoffs this season? Are they not? There's more up in the air with the Mets. The Yankees cannot let Soto go. It's, to me, equivalent to them letting Judge go. Like, if they were to let Judge go last season, it's the same thing. The Soto-Judge duo is something I've never seen before in New York. The fans are rallying around this team. Obviously, Yankee fans are always the way they are, but this is like a next level. It feels almost like a playoff environment every night at Yankee Stadium. I think there's no way that Brian Cashman lets Soto go. That would just be, that would be fumbling the bag like never before. I don't see it happening.
Aaron Judge, the minus money odds-on favorite to win the American League MVP. Juan Soto, the third best price in the entirety of the league. I think the odds-on favorite to win the National League MVP, at least in the last 2 weeks, that would be Grimace. Since Grimace threw out the first pitch now a week and a half ago, nearly 2 weeks ago at Citi Field, the New York Mets 9-2. We all believe in Grimace. I mean, look at the arm he displayed on the bump. But, Nicky, you're around this team. You've covered the New York Mets for SNY. What are the Amazons themselves saying about the Grimace era for this Mets organization?
They're saying the Grimace is the reason that they're on this run. Everyone's bought into the Grimace. The fans are bought into the Grimace. I feel like there was some foreshadowing. The City Connect jerseys are purple. Maybe they knew something like this was going to happen. I think they should get a patch with the Grimace maybe on the City Connects. If things keep going well, maybe Mr. Met is out and the Grimace is in. I don't know, but whatever the Mets need to continue going up in this way, being this great, we'll take what we can get. I think Mets fans are just like holding on to any bit of hope. So if it's the Grimace, it's the Grimace. But maybe every time they slump, they get the Grimace to come back and throw out the first pitch. Just put them on the payroll.
It could be interesting too, Nicky. Like, you see that big, like, it was a big deal to have the Tom Seaver statue outside of Citi Field. I mean, the Mets win it all. Grimace might be just right next to
him. If the Mets win it all this year, the Grimace is literally becoming the mascot.
For sure.
No doubt about it. By the way, tonight we are going to have the start of that Subway Series. That is the Yankees and the Mets. A slight favorite here. I should say around a minus 150 price here for a victory for the New York Yankees. Garrett Cole's on the mound. Last time we saw him, he was okay, but they didn't let him go too long. Do we have expectations for Garrett Cole going longer tonight? And also, who do you think is going to win this Subway Series here, Nikki?
I think it's going to split. I think the two games, it's just like, it's a recipe for a split. But I think Garrett Cole, I don't know if they'll let him go longer, but I think the Mets offense maybe won't do as well against Garrett Cole and he won't need to go as long. I don't think he'll run up his pitch count as much, but I think the Yankees win this game. And then I think the Mets can take tomorrow's game. But I think the Yankees will definitely get this game just because Garrett Cole is due for a win. And you know, he's back. I think there'll be a lot of Yankee fans there. So I'm excited for the game. I think it'll be a better series than we expected it to be earlier this year.
Yeah. A two-game set over the next 2 days at Citi Field, to Nikki's points. The Yankees a slight favorite in comparison to the two teams to win the Subway Series, but because it's only two games, a tie, a split at 1-1, that's a minus money price at minus 105. Nikki Lattarullo from SNY joining us here on this Tuesday on the Early Line on Sports Grid. Nikki, we appreciate the time as always. Yeah. Have a great Tuesday.
You too. Thanks, guys.
We will take a look at the odds for the Subway Series this week between the Mets and the Yanks and go elsewhere around the MLB diamond. A full card on this Tuesday around Major League Baseball. That means 15 games for Donnie Wright's side to break down. We'll try to get to as many as possible up next on TEL.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Game number one of the Subway Series tonight. In Queens, that's the heart of New York City, between the Yankees and the Mets. Garrett Cole makes his second start of this 2024 MLB season. And, of course, if Garrett Cole is on the mound, even if the Yanks have to make the trip from the Bronx to Queens, they are going to be booked as the favored side. Minus 158, the number in favor of the Pinstripes. The total tonight, 8.5. Donnie, what is your expectation for the opener of the two games this week in the Subway Series?
The Yankees should win this game, but here's the question. Again, as a handicapper, if I'm getting full gas Gerrit Cole, like, that's an easy win for the Yankees. But also, the Yankees would then be priced on the road at a minus 200 price, which they're not. They're about $1.50 at this point. I still think they're the better team. If we do look at David Peterson on the mound throughout this season, he only has 10 innings pitched here at home. But of those 10 innings pitched, a 5.40 ERA and an xFIP of 4.54. You take a look at Peterson, who is a left-handed pitcher. We don't know how long he's going to go in this game, but he does struggle with right-handed batters as a lefty. So two right-handed batters that should be in your lineup tonight if you're looking for RBI chances, that would be Aaron Judge and that would be Gleyber Torres. If we take a look at their ISO power numbers through 27 at-bats against lefties, for Judge, 391. Gleyber Torres, 21 at-bats, a 412 ISO power number. And also, conditions at Citi Field, very good tonight. 82 degrees at first pitch, wind blowing out to dead center field around 10 miles per hour. So the chances to get hits here, very good tonight in that environment. But if I had to choose, I do think the Yankees win this game. But if I'm betting and saying, you know, where can I make some money? It's probably going to be in that RBI market. Give me Judge, give me Torres.
It is a hot day in the Big Apple, that I can tell you for sure. The New York Mets, 13-6 in the month of June. They have won 9 of 11 games since Grimace threw out the first pitch two Wednesdays ago. The Yankees have dropped 3 consecutive series. That means they have lost 6 of their last 9 games. New York, that being the Yanks, hoping for better tonight over in Queens. Gerrit Cole in his season debut last week against Baltimore. Not bad. Only 62 pitches. The Yankees did lose that game in extra innings against the Orioles. Now we go to a divisional duel in the American League East. That game matched up between the Boston Red Sox and the Toronto Blue Jays. Boston, one of the hotter teams right now, DRS. Your AL team, winners of 8 of their last 9. Meanwhile, the Jays have dropped 7 straight games. Boston walked it off in the series opener yesterday at Fenway. What happens in game number 2?
81 degrees at first pitch, which is fine for Boston. Light wind blowing out to right field, which should help you. You take a look at this lineup for the Boston Red Sox that I've been really impressed with over the past about month and a half. But over the past 30 days, the top of that lineup, including the top 5 guys here, really doing well against right-handed pitching. Why is that important tonight? Kevin Gausman, a right-handed pitcher, is going to be on the mound. Now take a look at the first 5 batters in that Boston lineup against right-handed pitching over the past 30 days. ISO power number 250 for Duran. Hamilton, 169. Abreu, 269. Devers, 208, and Tyler O'Neill, 200. Also, those guys elevated weighted on base percentages as well. But here's what you're going to have to deal with. Kevin Gausman is a very good pitcher here. Against right-handed batters, he's filthy. So you want to match up those lefties, which, by the way, first 4 batters in the lineup, this is very rare in baseball, all of those guys, lefties, and not actually switch hitting, where it's like, oh, just throw a guy in there. So that's an interesting start to this game. The reason I bring that up is Gausman has struggled this year with left-handed batters. Over the past 30 days, he's faced around 80 of those guys. A 280 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 364. So, ooh, this looks like a really good night for the Boston Red Sox. It could be, but look at the splits here, Ben, on the road for Kevin Gausman. He's pitched 38 2/3 innings on the road, an ERA of 1.86. And if you equate that to a little bit of analytical terms, that xFIP number, 3.14. He's been good. So now we're looking at lefties that can hit against a pitcher that struggles against lefties, but a pitcher that's been filthy on the road. Those are the tough things to figure out. And that's why you're seeing such a close line in this game. If I had my druthers, I'm probably going Boston Red Sox in this game today, though.
Toronto was up by 4 after the 7th inning. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. had just hit a 3-run shot that traveled more than 470 feet over the Green Monster in left. The Blue Jays, DRS, are going to be a fascinating team to study here as we approach the trade deadline at the end of next month, because Toronto has had optimism the last few years with its young core, led by Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette, but have not capitalized on that. Now, on a 7-game skid, they have dropped 9 of their last 11. Might they be sellers ahead of the deadline? And if the season ended today, you believe Boston would be buying. They would be that third and final wild card team in the American League. 2 other playoff contenders, of course, the Baltimore Orioles and the Cleveland Guardians. Win number 50 for Cleveland yesterday. 6 straight wins. The Guardians, the best winning percentage in the American League. The Orioles trending the other direction in the last few days. They have dropped 4 in a row, but a favorite today to snap that skid. Will the odds makers be correct? Will Baltimore buck both trends tonight inside Camden Yards?
I think we'll get some runs in this game. We're close to 90 degrees at first pitch down at Camden Yards, and also wind blowing out to dead center field at 10 miles an hour. Good hitting conditions. Logan Allen, who is a left-handed pitcher that struggles against right-handed batters, that's usually a recipe for disaster. However, all throughout the season, we would take a look at this Baltimore lineup and say to ourselves, man, it looks great on a night-to-night basis. And against a lefty, they should be able to stack right-handed batters and absolutely hammer away. But check out this lineup. If we take a look at the anticipated nine that are going to come up, you take a look at Rutschman, killing it right now. 473 weighted on base percentage through his last 31 at-bats against lefties. You take a look also a little bit down that line, Austin Hayes, a 401 weighted on base percentage through 22 at-bats. Everybody else, Ben, below the average of weighted on base percentage against left-handed pitching. And again, we're not talking about Tarik Skubal in town, like, oh, they're just going to be dealt with anyway. Allen's not a great pitcher. And so you say, well, Donnie, why would you actually lean on total runs? You're just trying for those expectations of what we anticipate. Because on the opposite side, Cole Irvin's on the mound, a left-handed pitcher that really struggles again with right-handed batters. We just talked about that a second ago with who's going to be on the mound here for the Cleveland Guardians. But not a great presentation for the lineup for the Guardians. I'm just expecting the law of averages. Two average pitchers on the mound, two good hitting lineups in a ballpark that is conducive to hitting and does have those temperatures around 90 degrees and that 9-mile-an-hour winds or 10-mile-an-hour winds blowing out the center field. I'll take the runs in this one. If I had the lead, it's probably the Baltimore Orioles bouncing back, but I don't love the presentation of their lineup. I'll just stick with the total. I think we get runs today in this game.
So let's focus on another AL East team. That would be the Tampa Bay Rays. They are a slight home underdog today against the Seattle Mariners. Here are the odds. We'll get Donnie's breakdown on the other side. Yep. Luis Castillo gets the start for Seattle. The M's have dropped five of their last six, including yesterday. The Rays coming back to score multiple runs in the eighth to win this game against the Mariners. Tampa one win away from getting back to an even 500. More baseball breakdowns and a best bet up next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
In the trop we go between the Rays and the Mariners. Tampa winning the opener of this midweek set yesterday, 4-3 over Seattle. The M's, albeit a 5.5-game lead in the American League West, and still the only team above 500, despite the Astros on a 5-game win streak, have dropped five of their last six as well. A road favorite today in Tampa. Does that change? Does Seattle get a victory today against the Rays?
Here's the puzzling part. I like some of the components of that Mariners lineup, but when we take a look at those, you know, plus minuses on the season, there's not a lot of pluses here coming through lately. You take a look at, you know, J.P. Crawford, decent leadoff hitter, but a low weighted on base percentage. Luke Rayleigh might be the best in the lineup tonight as a lefty at a 333 ISO against right-handed pitching over the past month. But take a look at this. Like, Zach Littell, usually you'd say, you know, just line him up and knock him down for the Mariners, and maybe so tonight. Last 120 batters he's faced here. If we combine left-handed batters and right-handed batters, a 239 ISO and a 396 weighted on base percentage, like equal opportunity. Lefties and righties really beating him around. But if you take a look at those splits that are sometimes so common, it's a true pitcher's ballpark down there in Tampa. We understand that. If we take a look at Littell, 48 innings pitched this season at home, Ben, a 356, a 356 ERA, which is actually his identical xFIP at 356. So he pitches much, much better at home than he does technically on the road at this point, rightfully so. Now, Luis Castillo, more in name at this point. He hasn't been a great pitcher by any stretch year, and left-handed batters are clubbing him. Look at the last 52 batters he's faced from the left-hand side, a 319 ISO and a 389 weighted on base percentage. Here's the issue. There's not a lot of love in that lineup for Tampa Bay. Even though a late comeback victory yesterday when I thought they would get the win, it was a lucky victory. I don't know if their bats can hold up, so maybe Luis Castillo can get right in this environment. I look towards the under in here more than anything, but I'm not in love with either one of these teams' plate appearances versus these pitchers here. They should be getting hits, but they just haven't been doing so lately.
We have a full 15-game slate on this Tuesday, only 12 yesterday, but six of the 12 decided by just a single run, including that matchup in Tampa and one other game we'll discuss right now in St. Louis. The Cardinals scored four runs in the third, held on to knock off the Braves in the opener of their midweek set. St. Louis has won four straight, nine of its last 12. Atlanta, despite the loss, still pretty good as of late. The Braves victorious in eight of their last 11. A road favorite today under the arch because Reynaldo Lopez gets the start for Atlanta, and he's been great this year.
He has been great this year, and also quality starts on the road. Now, this will feel a lot like Hotlanta in St. Louis today with temperatures approaching 95 degrees at first pitch and a wind blowing out the dead center field right around 10 miles per hour. There is some rain in the forecast, which typically means rain, maybe a passing thunderstorm with that type of heat and humidity that we're going to expect. But Renato Lopez, as you're right, forget about the entire season. He's been fantastic. He's actually been even better over the past 30 days, Ben. 91 batters, he's faced an 0.82 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 255. That is absolutely spectacular. If you flip it over to Kyle Gibson, not a bad pitcher here. To right-handed batters, he's been filthy here. Last 52 batters he's faced from the right side, an 0.83 ISO and a weighted on base percentage of 0.07. He does get himself in a little bit of trouble with left-handed batters. So if you take a look at that lineup today, Jared Kelenic, Matt Olson probably should be in your lineup. If I'm going to look at both of these sides, I'm just going to rely on Lopez at this point. He's been really good, and I think we'll get some clutch hits for the Atlanta Braves, enough for a victory there. That's the way I'll go. Braves probably take that victory after losing yesterday.
So now it is time for a best bet on this Tuesday. A full MLB card, a championship at stake tonight in the WNBA, in the Commissioner's Cup title game out on Long Island at UBS Arena between the New York Liberty and the Minnesota Lynx. We break it down for you here before we say farewell and goodbye. It is time for Bye Bye Bye. What is Donnie's best bet on this Tuesday? Where are we headed on the diamond?
Yeah, we missed off on some opportunities to use this term here, which was brought to my attention last week. You know who's on the mound tonight? Chris, you're flexing. You're flexing. That's what we're going to fade today in this game. Yeah. Friezo does get credit for that one because we should have used that one in the past year. But Shohei Ohtani, it's Stinger Tuesday. He's probably going to hit a home run, but that's at a plus 196 price. That's ridiculous here.
God.
So let's up the ante in this environment. Shohei Ohtani is a left-handed batter, has been crushing right-handed pitchers. Flexing cannot get left-handed batters out. So if we're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, Shohei Ohtani to hit a home run, as I said, is very, very expensive. But to get two RBI, we're looking at plus 255. Let's go that route. Shohei Ohtani on Dinger Tuesday to get two or more RBI at a plus 255 price. You're flexing.
It's beautiful. It is Dinger Tuesday. It is also Commissioner's Cup Tuesday in the W. Jonquel Jones over 1.5 made threes for the Liberty tonight against the Lynx. New York, a 5.5-point favorite to win their second consecutive Commissioner's Cup. Total 164.5. He's Donnie. I'm Ben. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Wednesday, 8 a.m. Eastern time here on the grid.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.